Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. A few weeks ago, we talked about humility in relation to the Pharisee and the tax collector. And we focused on humility before God, which is right for every human being to have because every human being is a sinner who deserves nothing from God but wrath and punishment. And so, to stand before God and exalt yourself before Him and tell Him how great you are is foolish for anyone. We have to be in the lowest place before God, on our knees in repentance, looking to Him to lift us up with the forgiveness of sins, which He does for the sake of our Savior Jesus. But we said at that time that there is another humility that Scripture focuses on in other places, the humility before men, before other people. It's not a natural thing for us as human beings to lower ourselves down before others because we generally tend to think of ourselves as better than any number of people. And we can probably come up with a lot of reasons why we are more honorable than other people, why we really do rank higher. Jesus teaches today in the house of the Pharisees that that's not your place to determine. It's not your place to decide how honorable you are. It's certainly not your place to insist on ranking higher than others, on being appreciated more than others. Instead, Jesus teaches us to just go down and seek the lowest place, waiting for God to honor you. The Pharisees had invited Jesus over for a Sabbath meal, and He accepted their invitation. But they were watching Him carefully, our text says, watching to see where they could trap Him in breaking some law of Moses or other, because they had already determined by this point that Jesus was their enemy. There they sat in their high and lofty perch, looking down on Jesus, watching Him, trying to trap Him, judging Him. Not humility in the least. And there at the feast was a man with dropsy, that swelling of the limbs usually filling with water as the limbs, especially the legs, expand and become painful. While the Pharisees were sitting in their high and lofty perch judging Jesus and the rest of the guests, Jesus, the high and lofty God, was busy looking around for the person who needed the most help, for the person who needed Him the most. And He found him in that man with dropsy. And then Jesus looks up to the Pharisees and asks them the question, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" Obviously, He didn't need their guidance. He didn't need their permission. But He raises them up. He looks up to them from down here and asks, gives them the chance to teach Him. Of course, they remain silent. They don't want to teach Jesus this time because they know that if they say, "Yes, it's lawful," then they can't criticize Jesus anymore for healing on the Sabbath as they'd been doing. And if they say, "No, it's not lawful," right here in front of one of their own, presumably because he was invited there to the meal, the man suffering from dropsy, if they would say, "No, don't heal him," that would just look bad. And so they kept silent with their cruelty. Well, Jesus didn't wait for their permission. He healed the man. Now picture the man's swollen limbs just suddenly going back to normal, and the pain disappearing in an instant, and the refreshment that washed over the man's face. And again, Jesus now looks up to them after healing this man and says, which of you, if your animal fell into a ditch or a pit, which of you wouldn't go down and lift him up on the Sabbath day? Of course, they all would. Every one of them would do it, and not one of them would say, Moses' law doesn't permit this. No, they all knew very well that it was fine to help their animal on the Sabbath day. Why would the law of Moses make it okay to help your animal, but not your fellow human being? That just doesn't make any sense at all. Why would you care more about your animal than you care about this sick man or any of the sick people that Jesus healed on the Sabbath day? And so Jesus turns the mirror of the law onto the Pharisees to show them how wretched their actions were, how wretched their judgment was, how wretched they were in raising themselves up even above the law of Moses to look down on everyone. But pride does that to a person. It makes it impossible to agree with the person that you look down on, even if you know he's right. It makes it hard for politicians to work together, hard for spouses to get along, hard for children and parents, hard for church members, if your main concern is not to let the other person win, because then you might lose your place of honor. You might lose face. But there's more to learn from the gospel as Jesus turns then to the guests, noting how each one of them chose the best place for himself, the place of honor at the feast. Each one deciding that he was most worthy of this place of honor, the best place. Each one deciding he was more important than all the rest and should have this honor for himself. It was really childish behavior. But it comes naturally to us all. Again, we like to think we rank higher than most and look down on at least a large group of people, if not everyone. So if someone gets more recognition than we think they deserve, or if we get less recognition than we think we deserve, we get angry, we fight back, we push and shove our way to the place where we think we belong. Well, how foolish. Don't you know who the host is at this wedding feast? Isn't that what you should be concerned about? How the host thinks of you. How the host wishes to honor you. Putting yourself in the hands of the host entirely and not trying to tell him where you belong in comparison with all these, but letting him determine your worth, letting him determine your honor. That's what the Christian does. Let's God determine his worth and his honor. Instead of seeking the best place for yourself and then having God come along and say, no, no, someone else belongs here. Give up your place. Better than that, Jesus says, would be for you to just start out at the bottom. Assume the place of least dignity for yourself, the place of least honor. Sit there and wait for God to honor you. Our flesh hates that, but it is the right thing. It is the godly thing. It's what God did. It's what Jesus did. Even in the Old Testament, God said through the prophet Isaiah, "Thus says the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and lofty place with him who has a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones." The Lord God Almighty says that He dwells with him who has not a haughty heart, but a contrite and humble spirit, not with the proud. He's the one who gives honor. He's the one who lifts up, but He only honors and He only lifts up from one place, from the lowest place. He doesn't go to the middle. He doesn't go to the top and say, yes, you chose right, you belong here at the top. He always goes to the bottom, and there He finds the one to lift up. If that's the way the host acts, if that's the way God acts, then so what if you don't get the recognition you think you deserve? Why do you have to insist on getting honor, on getting appreciation? Why not be satisfied with less before men? Satisfied with sitting in the lowest place, if that's the place that God seeks, if that's the place that Jesus sought. And you know what Paul says to the Philippians in chapter 2, how your mind should be the same mind as that of the one whom you call your Lord, Christ Jesus, who was in the place of God but humbled himself all the way down to suffering on the cross. He pursued the lowest place for love of you, in order to serve you and to save you. And then he waited patiently for God to exalt him again to the highest place, and he did. Well, you call him Lord. You call yourself his disciple. Well then, disciple, learn from him and follow him. Follow him down every day to the lowest place, the place with the least honor, the place of service. That's what love does. Love always looks up, not down, because love is already sitting in the lowest place, looking up at everyone around you, how to help, how to serve from that position of lowliness. Then you can look up at everyone. Look up at the child who needs assistance. Up at the poor man who's wearing dirty clothes. Up at the churchgoer who may talk differently or dress strangely. Up at the old woman crumpled up in her chair needing help to eat. St. Paul insists that Christ has set down a pattern for us to follow, an example that we who bear his name are to follow. You heard it again in today's epistle. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Why? What's down there at the lowest place? Well, Paul tells us it's the church. It's the body of Christ. Well, of course it is. Where else could Christ be but in the lowest place? And where else could his body be, the church, but right there with him? There is one body, Paul writes, one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. And you have Jesus' word that you won't remain in the lowest place any more than Jesus himself remained there. He didn't exalt himself to sit at God's right hand. The Father exalted him in due time. And he'll do the same for you who are in Christ. You won't always appear weak and despised. You won't always appear lowly and unappreciated. Eventually, the one who invited you into his church with that one baptism will come and will honor you. So let the host decide where to put you. Let the host be the one to honor you. As for you, he has brought you all alike to this Sabbath meal today, where he grants forgiveness to all alike, where he gives the body and blood of his Son to all alike. Seek the lowest place in all your dealings with one another and in the world. And wait for God to honor you. In the words of St. Peter, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.